Please rise for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. There are at least 2 problems that every follower of Jesus faces. At some point, each one of us will try to get Jesus to conform to our own will and desire. In other words, we will try to put Jesus in a box that we have created. The second is that when confronted by the truth of Jesus, when confronted by the light of Christ, we will often choose darkness. We will choose to turn away. We will choose to deny Jesus' very presence in our lives. I know these things to be true because I have done them in my own life. I know these things to be true because the people who spent every day with Jesus, who saw the signs that he was doing, who heard his teaching firsthand, still wanted to make Jesus into their own image, or would often turn to darkness because following the light was simply too hard. The gospel this morning is familiar. We've heard this before. We learned this story in Sunday school as a small child. And even if you have come to the faith as an adult, you've probably heard this story at least once before. We know this story about the feeding of the 5,000. But I hope as I read the gospel this morning that you heard a thing or two that was unexpected. Or maybe you didn't hear a thing or two that you expected to hear. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle told in all 4 gospels. But even though some of the details are the same, the differences are also important. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the feeding of the 5,000 is framed in Jesus' compassion for the people. But in John's Gospel, it's a little different. In John's gospel, Jesus always knows what is coming next. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. It was Philip's response that was the important thing in that moment. Now, if you think back for a minute in John's gospel to Jesus' first sign, when he turned water into wine, it was his mother that seems to cajole him into the sign. She knew what he was capable of, even if Jesus wanted to say that his hour had not yet come. As many mothers have done, she didn't necessarily listen to Jesus' excuse. Instead, she says, "Do whatever he tells you." Even though Philip has seen many signs, he doesn't pass the test that Jesus placed before him. Instead of replying with something like, "I know you can do this, Jesus, the power of God is with you," he says instead, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. But it's not only Philip, because Andrew is given the opportunity to recognize the power of God working through Jesus, but he too responds from scarcity. He says, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Both Philip and Andrew, the rest of the disciples, and the 5,000 gathered are about to see what Jesus can do. They are about to witness the power of God in their midst. Jesus can take one thing that seems simple and ordinary and transform it into something that is completely miraculous. Now, there's at least one little detail in the gospel from this morning that you may have heard, but it might not have meant much to you. In the synoptic gospels, Jesus doesn't specify the kind of bread that became this meal. But here in John, he is clear to say that these are barley loaves. And this is significant because barley is what the poor ate. These weren't fancy loaves or gourmet French bread. These were ordinary. And it reminds me for a moment of part of a verse from Psalm 22. "The poor shall eat and be satisfied." Another difference is that after Jesus blesses the barley loaves and the fish, he feeds the people himself. In the Synoptic Gospels, this work is given to the disciples to do. But John wants us to understand that this too points to what lies ahead, that Jesus won't be the one distributing the bread, but he will instead be the living bread. And we know this because of what we will hear in the weeks to come. But one of my favorite details in this lesson comes after everyone has eaten their fill of the barley loaves and the fish, and we are told that the 5,000 are satisfied. Jesus then sends his disciples out to collect the leftovers, to see for themselves that what was perceived as scarcity in their human eyes becomes abundance in Jesus' hands. Each one of those disciples got to carry a basket full of leftover bread as yet another sign of the power and presence of God in their midst. The people, having experienced this sign firsthand, get ideas of their own. They begin to see Jesus as a prophet who has come into the world, and they want to seize Jesus and make him king. The translation we read from says that Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself. But other translations say that he fled. The 5,000 who had been fed didn't necessarily see Jesus as the sign before them. Instead, they wanted Jesus to fit into their idea of who he should be and how his power should be used. They wanted to make him king, which might have fit their earthly need, just like the bread satisfied their physical hunger. But they could not see or could not imagine what Jesus was actually pointing them to. They couldn't see or they couldn't understand where the signs were leading. They couldn't recognize the power of God before them. After Jesus had fled to the mountain, we don't hear what happens to the crowd, but we are told that the disciples get into a boat and start to cross the sea. John writes, "It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them." Remember that darkness in John's gospel symbolizes a lack of understanding. And as so often happens to the disciples when they find themselves on the sea at night, a storm brews around them. They had rowed a long way to no avail, but then they see Jesus walking near them on the water, and they are terrified. They could not see the truth of who Jesus was for them walking on the water. They could not see the light in the midst of their darkness. They too wanted to hold on to Jesus, bring him into the boat, cling to him for safety. But we are told instead that they immediately reached their destination. This gospel reminds us of many things. One is that Jesus isn't ours to control. Second is that in Jesus' presence, the power of God is revealed. The signs in John's gospel help us to see God's power in the world. But like the crowds, like the disciples, our immediate needs can keep us from seeing what God ultimately offers to us. Over the past year and now many months, churches across our country and the world have made more changes in that short time than many had made in the 50 years prior. As our congregation, we started by sharing recorded services with recorded music, and all the pieces got stitched together to look something like a complete worship service. We then moved to worship outside and to live streaming those services. Some worship from within their car, others worship from a square painted in the field, while yet others continued to watch at home. We then moved worship back here in the sanctuary, and we wore masks and we sat spread apart, and we didn't sing at first. We just continued to watch videos recorded at another time. And in these last couple of weeks, worship looks almost like it did before the pandemic. Music is live, communion is at the rail, things start to feel normal. But what if Jesus isn't calling us to what was once normal? What if what was once normal was actually a box that we constructed to keep Jesus safely in? What if in this time our hearts, our minds, our understanding has been broken open for something new? The crowd wanted to grab Jesus and make him king because that's what they understood. We too need to be careful that we don't try to grab Jesus and return things to normal just because it's what we understand. I think often the church can struggle with change because as the world changes, we want something to remain very constant. But we have learned over these last many months that sometimes everything has to change, and somehow we have survived, not unscathed, but wanting to follow the signs that we have been left. Pastor Tom and I, we continue to learn from the events of the past months. All along, we've tried to be intentional about the decisions that were being made or we were suggesting. We heard a lot of feedback from all of you, and some of it caused things to change while other ideas weren't able to be implemented for any number of reasons. We continue to move forward trying to listen to where Jesus is leading us. But this isn't the Oregon Trail, where the grooves are worn so deep into the ground that all we have to do is fall into the groove and follow. This is much more like being on the sea. You can have your fixed point behind you that is meant to keep you on the path to where you are going, but you don't get to control the wind, and you don't get to stop a storm from brewing. Instead, you keep rowing as best you can in the direction that you are being called to head. Jesus is both the fixed point and the destination. But we can't force him into the boat just because it makes us feel more comfortable. It is our tendency to want to make Jesus fit into our plans. We all have the tendency to want to choose darkness over light, to choose the familiar over the new, to choose our own comfort over the discomfort that Jesus may be calling us to. But when we do this, we may just miss the signs all around us. We may be missing the miracles happening in our midst. We may ignore the power of God, the call of Jesus, the light in our midst, because our basic needs have been met. Jesus has shown us that ordinary water can be turned into the best wine that anyone has ever tasted. Jesus has shown us that meager barley loaves and a couple of fish can feed 5,000 until they are satisfied, and 12 baskets of leftovers remain. Over the next weeks, Jesus will show us that we will continually choose our own comfort over understanding the miracles before us. But Jesus won't be conformed to our box. Jesus is the bread we need. Jesus will lead us to places we have not seen and destinations we could not have imagined. On ventures of which we cannot see the ending, as one prayer states. We are being called to stay open to the signs around us. We are being called to stay open to that which Jesus is pointing us to. We are being called to stay open, to stay receptive, to stay alert for the power of God in our midst. Amen.